Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Get rid of my extra thingies. Okay, turn off your sound, Alex.
Your shirt has a logo of... What is that?
Whatever brand of shirt it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not some thing from a movie or a TV show?
No.
It looks like something from a movie or TV show.
It is. I read that.
Looks like...
I'll find it. Hold on.
I think you're wrong.
No, I am right. It is a generic, like, shirt thing.
But that's
one time when I was like, maybe I'll actually exercise, which, of course, I've never done. But...
I am all completely sweaty because I did.
Ugh. Okay, here you go. Let's see. Here, I'll actually use the chat inside the... Where is the... Maybe I won't... There's a chat. The chat inside...
Riverside?
Yeah, Riverside. Riverside. The studio chat. Here we go. There are multiple chats. There you go. Meanwhile, let's make sure the live stream's going. Hello, live stream people. That is going. Although my signal is sucky, but okay, let's see. Did it do this? Yes.
I was going to do an image search, but as I went to take a screenshot, your image turned completely fuzzy on my end.
Yeah. I was noticing that on the YouTube thingy. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe it won't. Who knows? Shall we start?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you look at the Amazon link I sent?
Not yet. Hold on. I was seeing what new came on the Slack. Okay, here we go. All right, let's see. Oh, of course, it's not clickable. Okay, let's not use this chat ever again. Okay, all right, shall we? Stupid thing.
I'll text it to you instead.
No. I copied and pasted it now.
Okay.
Nelius Men's Dry Fit Mesh Athletic Shirt. One word that we know that we shouldn't mix together with Sam is the word athletic.
I think when I bought these,
were under the delusion.
Well, it was May 2018, the last time I bought these. I did buy it a couple times. So I have like six of these shirts or something. But I did actually go to the gym like a handful of times.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then I didn't.
But
I have worn them when I was out of regular t-shirts.
Ah, I see.
So, anyway, shall we go?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Blah, 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 blah. Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah,
blah. Here it goes.
Blah.
Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, June 7th, 2025. It is 1740 UTC as we're starting to record this show. So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah.
Together. Again.
Together. Together again. Isn't there a song? We're together.
Yeah, there
again.
Is, but blah, I, blah, I can't blah, come blah, up blah. With it right now.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and everyone should be glad that we can't. So.
Yes.
I guess we'll do our usual. We'll start out like with non-newsy stuff, and then we'll get more newsy as the day progresses. So, I don't know. It's a day. I could just go back to sleep right now. I'd be fine with that. You know, it's just a thing.
I mean, nothing's happened this week.
Oh, look, Nothing at all. Are we going to go into our usual joke of how nothing has happened when something has happened?
Calm and relaxed. I mean, what joke? What are you talking about? What happened? I mean, it's one of those standard, substandard weeks.
Right. Okay. So, I don't know.
Let me say it this way. Not just this stuff like that happened. Look, I should have known Monday how this week was going to be insane. Okay? Because my week started off with insanity. Okay? Because I had a business trip.
I believe I heard a little bit about this.
I dutifully prepared for this business trip. I got to the airport on time. And as I am sitting there waiting to board the flight, I look at my phone, at my emails. I hadn't looked at them because I was taking care of a whole bunch of other things and whatnot. I remember I was like, getting chats about this and that stuff going on, blah, blah, blah. And I look at my work emails and I see that the people I'm meeting with tomorrow have sent me a thing saying that, we're canceling the meeting. This is as I am at the boarding area for the flight, okay? And so now I had some other business to tend to, but that was the key part of my trip, okay? Okay. But there were other things, okay? So I'm like, look, well, about the board. The other things weren't as cooked as this. This was very important. I'm like, let me just, whatever. We'll go anyway. All right. Our aircraft that is supposed to take us gets there. Okay. And soon after it gets there, a big cluster of thunderstorms rolls in to Miami. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
And
happens sometimes in that part of the world.
You get some passing thunderstorms on a regular basis. This is the more, not the normal one. This was like far heavier, broader, and more intense. As a matter of fact, that system later was seen as possibility for tropical development, like later. Okay.
I remember seeing an NHC map that had like a little yellow blob.
Yes.
In that area.
And it was that thunderstorm system. Okay. Developed very swiftly. Okay. And so thunderstorms roll in. Couple of things. What things happen? Number one, all takeoffs and landings were stopped. Because this was that bad that they had to stop all traffic, okay? The ramp gets closed, so all the employees have to shelter in place. I mean, you can see the thunder and lightning, like, rolling in really bad. Okay, so flight's delayed. I've had this happen before. This happened. It's caused a delay, and we're usually, on our way later, whatever. So I wait. We wait. One of the annoying things, and I've seen this with other airlines, not just American, that the updates that they put on departure time are not helpful, okay? Because the system keeps automatically saying, we didn't leave at 2:30. Oh, we'll leave at 2:45. 2:45 for a sign. Oh, no, we'll leave at 3. The computer, 3:15. I'm like, look.
It's being optimistic, Yvonne.
I mean, we haven't even boarded the fucking plane. What the hell? How the fuck are we leaving in 15 minutes? Okay. All right. This is not happening. Okay. In any way, stretch, or form. So updates keep rolling around. At some point, I'm hungry. Thankfully, right across from the gate, there was a nice restaurant. So I went over to the nice restaurant to have a meal. Okay. Got something, whatever. And then as I finish my meal and I walk back to the gate at around 5 o'clock, they cancel the flight. Okay. And this is as I saw people actually in the ramp working because the storms had stopped.
Uh-huh.
But they canceled the flight. Now, I must admit, I had not looked at how bad the situation was in terms of diversions. I realized later that holy shit. I mean, they diverted everything to like, I mean, all the international flights coming from Europe got sent to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Okay. I spoke to someone I know over there that works the airport, and they told me, listen, we got all of a sudden. I had to work she had to work an 18-hour shift, okay, at Orlando because so many flights from Europe that they didn't expect came in that they had to handle all of a sudden, okay? And they sent them to Palm Beach, and they sent them to everywhere. And so when they canceled the flight, I'm like, look, my meeting got canceled, okay? My flight gets canceled. So I call, I call our travel agency, and I just said, listen, just cancel the hotel. Don't even try to rebook me. I saw the next flight to San Juan also got canceled. There was a line at the airport that, I'm not exaggerating, probably was almost a mile long of people trying to get assistance. Okay. All right. Which is particularly insane. I think I'm like, at this point, getting into that stupid line,
right?
It's just there is no point. Just whatever, don't get in this line. Call up, do something, whatever. So, which is what I did. I mean, I called our travel agency. I told them, just cancel everything. Cancel. It's all cancel the car. You want me to rebook you? Nah. Listen, I got to figure out what the fuck's going on. You canceled my meeting, whatever. So then I go back down to baggage claim. Because I check my bags. I hate carrying my bag. So, let me try to get my bag. Well, no bags. Listen, it's going to take 8 hours to unsnarl the bag mess that has been created right now. And I'm like, fuck that. Look, I'll put a claim. And I don't know. Some of the people don't understand how this process works, even the employees. And I was just like, okay, they'll send me the bag. Oh, no, they won't do that. I'm like, whatever. I know they'll send me the back to the house, whatever. So I pulled in the claim or whatever, put it in the system, got in my car. I went home. And unfortunately at rush hour, which basically with the storms, the rain, even though the thunderstorm part itself was past, the rain had not ceased. Okay. For hours and hours, yep. All the way driving home. It was pouring rain. It took me 2 hours to drive home. Okay. All right. How bad the weather was. So I go to check, I didn't expect to find out anything about my bag that night. And I'm like, okay, next day, let me see where the hell the bag is. And I can track track it with the little tracking number. Now they all have this AirTag tracking thing. I'm going to get a fucking AirTag to track the bag. Because all the airlines now support it as well in order to find your bag.
Right.
Well, I checked the next day. My flight's in Puerto Rico. They put it on the first flight in the morning to Puerto Rico because
your bag
they were like,
still went.
Yeah, my bag still went because, and actually, the airline was trying to be helpful because they figured, hey, this guy needed to get there. I'm sure he'll get on another flight. Let's just send him the bag over there. Let's get his bag over there so he's got his luggage when he gets there. Right. Well, no, I didn't. And so then I call American and I'm like, guys, you sent my bag. Well, we were trying to get it for you to get because they get there. And I'm like, yeah, oh no, you're right. Okay. Well, can you bring it back? Yes, we'll bring the bag back. So this was the bag. I checked it in on Monday. I did not get the bag back until Thursday. Now they did deliver it, like as I expected, to my house. I did not have to go to the airport to go get it. I don't understand why. Well, you actually, they do have this very nice service, whatever. You put in your information and some guy just came in and brought it all the way to my house. So I didn't have to do that. But basically, I should have known with all the shit that went wrong in the week and a whole bunch of other things at work where all of a sudden we had just things that I had planned in one way and everything went sideways. I'm like, this is just an omen to all how our week as a nation has gone.
Oh, yeah, an omen. Yes.
Yes. I don't think that as a country we have ever had a spectacle between our president and a key advisor in the way that it happened this week in public. This has never happened, right? I'm not wrong. I mean, has this ever happened like this with a key advisor?
Well, like
with
this.
With threats.
Probably not.
And insults and threats and, you know, I mean, vicious attacks, including attacks of accusing the other guy of pedophilia, of participating in a pedophilia ring, which apparently is a thing for Elon.
Well, he just said he was in the files. He didn't say in what capacity.
Oh, yes. He just meant it in a good way. It was in a positive way. Yes. It's going to come out that he's in the files in a positive way. He was the savior of the children.
Well,
that's why.
Yes.
That's why Elon mentioned him, you know, prominently, of course. He's the savior of the children. Sam, I forgot. Yes. I mean, he's, you know, that's right. He's such a kind man.
Yes. So undoubtedly, Trump versus Musk will be one of our main topics as we proceed on this show. I can't imagine avoiding it.
It's just that, what the fuck? I mean, everything is, Sam, you know, look, if we scripted a movie of this shit, we've said this before, but even more today, if we had written a script 15 years ago describing this situation for a movie about the presidency, we would have been laughed out of the studio. I say, you guys are out of your minds. It's ridiculous. It's never going to happen.
Yes. I mean, we have mocked before sort of how off the rails the later seasons of House of Cards went.
Yeah.
And we're getting in that zone, you know?
Yes.
And we certainly are well past, like, things that happened in West Wing, you know.
Oh!
Yes, anyway. So I have one thought that's just a riff off what you said on your travel situation before I get to my movie, which is this. You mentioned your rush hour escape from the airport back home.
Yeah.
As our loyal listeners know, I have, for a long time now, we have been required at my employer to go back into the office 5 days a week. It was 3 days a week for a while, and then now it's 5 days.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Have you gotten used to it now?
Hell no.
No?
No.
Okay.
Every single time I do it, I'm swearing at myself the whole damn trip back and forth.
Okay. You know, because I went through here. The reason I say that is because I went through this. Now, what happened is that I changed. Not that my employer changed their minds. I changed jobs.
Right.
Back in 2010. And I went from HP, where I worked from home for several years, back to an office environment that not only did I have to go to the office 5 days a week, I had to be there at 8 a.m.
Well, thank God I don't have that at least. I have been attempting recently to try to be there closer to 9.
Yeah.
And here's where I would say, like, whatever has been going on, the last 2 to 3 weeks, traffic has gotten significantly worse. And I don't know what changed. Okay. Like,
some other companies started mandating people to go back to the office.
Probably, I hadn't read that news story, but probably something like that. Here's the deal. Like, prior to maybe 3 weeks ago, the trip in, I'd say, like, I've said on a show before, if I go at like 2 a.m. when there's no traffic, it's about a 35-minute door-to-door drive. Okay. You know, if I was Yvonne, I could make it in less.
How many miles is it?
About 25.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'd make it in less than that.
Now, the beginning and end of that is not highway, but like the
still,
bulk of it
doesn't,
is highway.
Doesn't matter. I could tear it a lot less than that.
Yes. Now,
kidding me?
With me meticulously following speed limits and traffic laws, takes about 35. Okay.
Okay.
With no traffic. Now, the actual, like, my morning experience going in was probably typically between 45 minutes and an hour. okay?
Not terrible.
Unless you could be guaranteed if it was raining or otherwise bad weather, it would instantly add at least 20 minutes to it, maybe more, okay? And if there were accidents along the way, even more. So, like, it could spike up to as high as 2 hours. But that was rare under certain conditions. My trip back would typically be around an hour. Because my trip back would typically... And part of this was the morning. Like, I would go in a little bit later, and there'd be a little bit less traffic in the morning. But anyway, the last 3 weeks, consistently, both morning and evening commutes, closer to 90 minutes, and sometimes longer in both directions.
Wow.
Even when there's like good weather, no obvious accidents, you know, whatever. And that has been, and you know, part of it, I mentioned I was trying to get in a little bit earlier. That undoubtedly is part of it, because I am closer to the big bulk of the traffic going through the snake's digestive system. But it's not all that, because even when I've gone in a little bit later, okay, it's still
at 90 minutes. Has it not made you reconsider taking the rail option to go into the city?
No, because I have tried this. Here's the thing. First of all, for me to get from where I am to the closest rail option is already like 40 minutes out of that commute.
It's 40 minutes? That far?
Yeah. Well, during the traffic, like, it would be a lot faster if it wasn't. But like, a lot of, I would have to get past a chunk of that traffic to get to the rail.
Okay. All right.
Well, okay. Second, I tried the light rail when they opened the closest stations to me.
Okay.
Right after it opened, within 2 to 3 weeks of it opening, and parking was no problem whatsoever. I have subsequently heard that the parking garage there fills up
and
by like 7 a.m., maybe even earlier.
No.
Okay.
Okay, well, that makes
sense. So I can't park and ride there either. I would have to like find some other way. But even when it did that, once I got to the platform, my time into the city was still at least that hour and a half. And I've already burned 30 minutes plus to get there. And once I get to the train station in the city, I then have to walk to my office, which is another 20 minute walk.
It's not even really, you know, I would have assumed it's more convenient. The reason I mentioned it, I've done, you know, so like we've got, there are two rail options now to go from Boca Raton into Miami downtown. Okay. Both of them during rush hour. If I went, and if I had to go regularly, basically would be meet or beat the time it would take me by driving.
I have, over the years, I have tried the light rail. I have tried buses. I have tried every combination of the above that I can have figured out. Every time it seems like a new option is available, I have tried it. And the every single one, the door-to-door time is significantly longer than the drive time. The one advantage, there is one advantage, which is I can sit there and I can go back to sleep.
Right.
I can sit there and read. I can do something else. I'm not going to sit there and work, but I can potentially relax.
Well, if you had to, you could.
If I had to, I could, but I'm not going to. I'll be honest with myself.
No, but you know what I'm saying. No, but if you could have something that all of a sudden requires you to do something, you could do it.
You could conceivably. There is also a company shuttle option that could be taken. But from what I have never actually tried that one, but I have listened to people who have, it has very restrictive schedules. You know, and you have to sign up in advance for, I am going to be on this bus at this time. And that just doesn't work for me. And so I've explored all those options. Driving is it is still the best option for me, but it's killing 3 hours a day right now. And that is a lot of time out of the schedule, you know? And I listen to podcasts or whatever, but you know, it is, and it has increased over the last few weeks. Like, and could I potentially alleviate some of this by adjusting my hours further? Maybe, like, you know, take morning meetings at home.
Yeah,
and then
it's a pain in my ass.
Yes, I can, and I've experimented with some of that, but it helps some. But then it kills your momentum in the middle of the day. Like, I kind of want to, like, once I'm working.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, work, once I'm working, I'm with you.
Stop.
I'm with you on that one. I don't like the, take a meeting and then go thing. Unless there's a 7 a.m. meeting that has to happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've done that in those kinds of situations. And I have done that when the calendar works out for it. But you lose that momentum. But I'll say, even without that, even if the commute is at the very beginning, look, I'm already getting up earlier than I want to get up in order to do work anyway.
Right.
Like,
right.
If I had my druthers, I would not be up before 10, 11 a.m. Any day, ever, you know? And I'd stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning.
I don't know what the fuck is going on with me now, but I have been having problems sleeping past 7:30. And this has not been an issue to me in the past. Okay?
I've gone through periods where that has been true, where, like, my work schedule was consistent enough for long enough that I started sort of waking up on my own.
I'm like, I got to, yeah, and this is what's been happening. I've been setting the alarm for later, mm-hmm. and I keep waking up
before it goes off. Yep.
Well before the damn alarm goes off.
Yeah.
I'm so angry at myself about this. I gotta be honest.
But anyway, what I was saying, though, is, like, I'm not a morning person anyway. I struggle with mornings. Afternoon is much more productive for me regardless. But if you start my day by A, waking up before my body is ready to wake up, and then a 90-minute drive, I arrive at the office, like, already wiped and, like, not... Like, so it makes it even harder for me to get into the groove and get going, once I'm there. And it's just, it all sucks. It all sucks. Now, I'm hoping, like what you said may be true. It may be somebody new is requiring people to come into the office, and that's why the traffic is bad, and therefore it's going to be permanent. I'm kind of hoping it's something temporary and it'll get back to how it was, which wasn't great, but it was better than what it is right now.
Better than this. But, yeah.
You know, or maybe I will have to, like, really investigate, screw it, completely change my schedule, like, get up really freaking early and beat the morning rush and be at work at like 7 or some crap and then leave early too. I don't know.
Like a 3.
Leave at 3. Although traffic is already bad at 3. I've done that. But
I've noticed that too. You know, the traffic coming from Miami, whenever I have to go, I mean, I can't remember the hell it was that I arrived at a flight. Oh, I arrived at 2:30. I won't get stuck in traffic at 3 o'clock. And I was like, ha ha, you idiot. Very funny. You're such a dumbass. Yeah, you're stuck in traffic anyway.
Yeah. I've joked before, what I need is a catapult.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would be an interesting way to get to work, you know?
Yeah.
As people see you, like, I would suggest that to make it an easier landing, that you wear a parachute. So you would be catapulted very high a distance, and then as you're approaching, like, your destination, you pull chute, and then you... make a nice soft landing. It would just impress the hell out of everybody.
In my head, I wasn't catapulting sort of out in the open. I was in like a giant hamster ball. So the hamster ball could have a parachute.
The hamster ball could have a parachute. Yeah. The hamster ball has a parachute and you click a button and then you gently descend to your destination. It's not a bad idea, actually.
you know, I'm sure we could make it work. There wouldn't be any liability issues. There
hey, maybe
be any
we could
problems.
Talk to Elon now. I think he's got more spare time.
You know, I believe it was just on last week's show that we said we should not dismiss the stupid ideas out of hand. We should go all in.
Yes.
So yes. Catapult-based hamster ball commute.
Yes.
We will be billionaires any day now.
Billionaires. Yes. We'll be mocking all these people that are only centimillionaires, you know, very soon. As I try to watch another one of these shows about billionaires, like, because I think I mentioned in the Slack that I tried to watch Succession.
Okay, right.
One of our listeners also said he had the same problem. After watching 3 or 4 shows, I get so sick of these people. I'm just like, I can't watch this fucking show. I fucking want to punch these people in the face. I can't. Fuck them all. I can't do it. Okay. So I also, they said that they had published this movie on HBO as well called Mountainhead, which is about a set of billionaires and some kind of like, it takes a lot of things that are happening right now, changes them some way. It's fictional, okay? As to how these billionaires deal with some, you know, chaos that's happening in the world, you know, spawned by AI in some way and some of the stuff or whatever, and how they're talking about how all billionaires now want their own, like, independent, like, fiefdom in the middle of the ocean or country, or right. They want to take over a country or something. I started watching like first 20, 30 minutes of this thing. And I'm like, okay, fuck this. I can't watch. I want to punch these guys. I can't deal with these assholes. I can't do it. Fuck them. So I quit that one. But and the one thing that was in the movie was that there were a couple of guys that were billionaires and they were friends with this guy that only was a centimillionaire, so he only had hundreds of millions, and how they mocked him for it.
Right.
He called them soups, like a soup kitchen, because he's only got $100 million, so you know he's the soup kitchen guy. He has to get food at the soup, you know, the food bank.
Yeah. He might actually have to think about it a little bit before self-funding an independent nation.
Yes. Yeah, he has to. That's just so sad. These poor people.
Okay. We've gone on long enough that I will not do my movie, even though I'm falling further and further behind on the movie list. I will mention what the movie is for next week.
Which is?
It will be Judas and the Black Messiah, which was a 2021 American biographical historical drama film.
I must totally admit that I never even knew that a movie with that title existed.
Of the cast list, there's only one you would probably recognize. Martin Sheen is in it.
Okay, so I mean, it's got somebody with some name recognition. I had no idea this movie even existed.
Well, but,
as my pop culture surveys that I've done recently have shown, I know nothing.
This is more a film festival movie than like a mass pop culture movie.
Still, doesn't matter. You know, whatever. I have known nothing of this. I mean, like, I grabbed the top 100 songs again recently to try to see who I do on that list. I think I went 0 for 100 if I do any of those people.
So you haven't been following the new Sabrina Carpenter song that came out like yesterday? And the controversy over whether she was doing it to step on some other artist's new album?
Okay, I have to say, look, and I'm not making this up. I have no idea who the hell Sabrina Carpenter is. I have no idea. Not, I mean, listen, if you put her in a, listen, you told me, I'll give you $10 million. Identify this person right now. I'll put 4 people in front of you. I would fail. And if you gave me a picture array of 20 people, you told me, hey, pick for the only way I would win is random chance.
Okay, I sent you a link. Do you recognize the girl?
Okay, let me see.
I tapped it.
I'll check. Okay, yeah. No. No. Not a clue. No. Not a clue. I have no idea who this person is.
Okay. Cool.
But look, I take Bloomberg has this really cool like news quiz lately every week where they
you do well on that.
The last couple of weeks I've been at the top 5% of the news quiz.
Oh, nice.
So I've been really hitting that news quiz really good, but I have no idea, not one clue who Sabrina Carpenter is.
Is this the pointed news quiz?
Yes. 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 It's a pointed news quiz. It's a good question.
I'm looking. Got it. How to play. Oh, this is too, you have to wager and stuff. And
yes. You also have to do some
it's
wagering.
It's too complicated.
Yes.
Okay. I'll leave it how it is.
Some wagering.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to do this. I'm going to play this thing live.
Okay. I haven't played this week. So, okay. Hold on. Let me see. I'm gonna make my wagers.
Mine on the default, all even.
By the way, there's one thing important to use. There's some multipliers that are available. So if you're very sure about an answer, make sure to use your multiplier. Okay, all right.
This is too complicated. I'm just gonna try to.
No, no,
too
no,
complicated.
No.
Okay, so. Once you click it, does it go away?
What do you mean it goes away?
Like, does it go straight to the next question once you click the answer? Because I want to read the question out loud to people. Okay, so go ahead and make your wager on the first one. Then I will read it and make.
Okay, hold on. Oh, then Hold on.
How many questions are in this thing? Like 10? 10 questions?
10 questions. Okay, so let's go to the first question. Okay. All right, here we go.
Okay. President Donald Trump issued a full ban on entry into the U.S. for citizens of 12 countries. 10 of them are in Africa and the Middle East, but which two countries are elsewhere? One is recovering from a major earthquake, and the other is, according to the United Nations, one of the 5 places in the world with catastrophic levels of hunger. Okay. And the choices are A, Laos and Venezuela, B, Myanmar and Haiti, C, Afghanistan and Equatorial Guinea, D, Nicaragua and Ukraine. We shall both make our choices. Have you made your choice?
I did.
Okay, I'm making my choice.
Myanmar. Yeah.
I went for the one with Venezuela in it. So I lost.
What?
Because Venezuela was.
How did you fail that one? Is Myanmar and Haiti? What the hell? Like, what? You're already.
My first instinct was the Afghanistan one before I read
the earthquake, the Myanmar earthquake. Remember that we pulled out the fucking relief workers?
No.
Fuck.
69% of people got it right, so I suck. Okay.
Yes.
Next.
What is a layup?
Your wager, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Geet Wilders, a far-right lawmaker, pulled his Freedom Party. Out of his nation's
the answer to this question.
Out of his 4-party, okay. Have you made yours? The choices are Poland, Germany, the Netherlands, or Denmark.
Shit, I'm not sure. Okay, I kept thinking this was about the Polish election, and it's not. But based on that name, I'm going to make a choice. I think I know which one it is. You ready?
Ready.
You made your choice. Okay. All right. Made my choice.
Netherlands.
Yeah, it's the Netherlands. Yes.
Okay. Next.
Yeah. But with a name like Geert Wilders, that is such a Dutch name. You know, that was like, that was a giveaway, just the Dutch name. I didn't realize that happened.
Okay. Huawei's Pura X is a new foldable phone sold only in China. The device is an opportunity for the company to showcase its recently launched operating system, a competitor to iOS and Android called what? The word that appears in the name derives from the Greek meaning joint. And I say because I don't know the Greek alphabet well enough to pronounce that. And are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay. Okay. Well, hang on. I haven't chosen yet. I will choose now. Okay.
I chose Hinge, but it's Harmony.
Yeah. I chose Unison, but it's Harmony. Yeah.
I figured joint is a hinge.
I mean, Unison, joint. Yeah. No, well.
Okay, next.
I.
We got to get this going because we're
Come on. Okay, slow. But hey, we're going through it. But we're going through the news.
There you go. Yale University is finalizing a sale of as much as $2.5 billion of its private equity and venture capital assets. What is the code name of the project? It references a fictional character who is ostentatiously wealthy and loves someone named Daisy. This one's an easy one. At least for me. You got it, Yvonne?
Fuck, I'm not totally sure, but I think I know it. I think it's, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Have you chosen? The choices are Project Gatsby, Project Clampett, Project Warbucks, or Project Scrooge.
I got it wrong.
It's Gatsby.
I knew that.
It's from The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
Which I was supposed to read in high school and didn't. Okay. Next. Sotheby's will soon auction off a black Hermes bag with gold hardware. It was commissioned in 1984 for which fashion icon? A, Jackie Kennedy, B, Princess Diana, C, Grace Kelly, D, Jane Birkin.
I'm going to guess it's Princess.
You know, you should say it before I say it, but I was going to make the same guess, Princess Diana, which was wrong. It was Birkin.
Fuck. Well, we're both. Okay, well, I that's one that I put down to 5 points because I knew I had no idea.
I did know the Birkin was a kind of bag, and I thought
no,
about
I know the Birkin is a bag, but I didn't know who the fuck they made it for. I have no idea. The hell am I supposed to know?
Okay. The newly elected president of a certain country said his first task would be to avoid imposing martial law again.
Okay, I know.
Which country is it? The Philippines, South Korea, Thailand, or Malaysia?
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready,
one, two,
go.
Three. South Korea.
South Korea.
Yes. Next. Taylor Swift acquired the rights to her first six albums from a private equity firm. In her announcement, Swift wrote, "This was a business deal to them, but I really felt like they saw it for what it was for me. My first tattoo might just be a huge blank in the middle of my forehead." Which symbol, both the name and the logo of the firm, fills the blank? Okay.
Fuck. I don't know. This.
Okay.
You do?
Pick one.
Okay, I picked one. No.
Okay, the choices are Anchor, Cerebus, Shamrock, or Scooter. I am picking Shamrock, and I am right.
Yes, you're right.
Did you get it wrong?
No, I got it wrong. Man, this is the worst I've done at this thing in the last 3 weeks. This is ridiculous.
Well,
okay, here we go.
You know, I started out missing a few I should have gotten. Okay, Carol Naraki, a nationalist backed by Trump, won a presidential election in a European country. After the victory, the president-elect said, "We will not allow blank to hold all the power and have a monopoly of evil power that does not care about public finances." The name of which prime minister who wields the majority of the political influence in Narwaki's country fills the blank? A, Nkusser Dan. B, Alexander Lukashenko. C, Donald Tusk. D, Viktor Orban.
Well, I know it's not C and D, but I'm not sure.
You know, you shouldn't give me hints before I've chosen.
Fuck.
Okay.
I'm gonna make a choice.
I'm making a choice. I'm going for A. It was Donald Tusk. It was one of the ones you said it wasn't.
What? How could it be Donald Tusk?
Ah. Okay.
Did Prime Minister
I was going to pick Tusk until you said something, and then I was
Donald
like, oh.
Tusk was a fake fucking character from goddamn House of Cards.
Next. Okay. Sanofi agreed to buy a U.S. biopharma group for at least $9.1 billion. What type of drawing made with ferric ferrocyanide appears in the name of the company?
Jesus Christ, what we obviously have paid no attention to the news this week with Elon and Donald going at it. Okay, I have no idea what the fuck this is. I'm going to take a guess at one of these, but I have no idea.
I'm going now, and I am picking. Oh, the choices were tattoo, stipple, lithograph, and blueprint, by the way.
All right, I'm going to make a choice.
Okay.
No, and I got that one wrong too.
I picked lithograph because I thought.
God.
I thought blueprint was too obvious, and also ferric would be reddish.
So did I.
Not blue. We're not doing well.
Shit.
We are not doing
We're doing terrible.
After 16 years, comedian Marc Maron's pioneering podcast that helped define the medium is coming to an end. Which abbreviation is used in the title of the show? WTF, TTYL, OMG, or TLDR.
I have no idea either.
This one's an easy one. It's WTF. Done. Okay. Oh, I shouldn't have said that before you had indicated you had chosen.
I that's the one I was going to choose, but, you know. Okay, so we did poorly.
See result.
Actually, you know what? Many people did poorly this week.
My final score was zero.
Okay, my final score was 32.5. I scored better than 38% of the other players. So I did not, I was not, this was not a colossal, total failure, but this is about the worst I've done in this quiz in the last few weeks.
Okay. Well, we have wasted a good deal of time on that. I could have done my movie.
A lot of the news.
A lot of the news that we probably would not have talked about otherwise,
to be fair. We would not have talked. These are things that we would not have talked about, and so we just covered it. So there you go.
Yes, there you go. Okay, let's take a break, and then I guess we'll probably just start off on Musk versus Trump. Everyone's eager.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Everyone's eager. Okay. Here we go. Here's a break. Breaky, 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 breaky.
This podcast is sponsored by AlexMzilla.com. Alex Mzilla is great. It's on YouTube. And it has lots of fun videos.
Alex Mzilla is awesome. And great.
I love his videos, and they are obviously better than Curmudgeon's Corner.
Well, they're funnier. They're more interesting.
And frankly, he seems at least a little smarter than either of the hosts of Curmudgeon's Corner.
Honestly, it's ridiculous how endlessly talented and phenomenal Alex Mzilla is.
That's how great his YouTube channel is.
AlexMzilla.com.
Yes. Do.
Do. Okay.
Do.
Very exciting. I will note that we have had a viewer on our live stream for the most of the show so far, but it was my son Alex logged in as me on like my iPad or something. And so he's been commenting things like, oh no, that's unfortunate, and a frowny face on things we were saying earlier in the show.
There you go.
But
perfect.
And it shows up as comments from me because he was logged in as me. But what whatever.
You're upset at yourself.
I am. Anyway, there was one brief moment with two people watching, but that didn't last very long. Anyway. So, Elon and Donald having a good old time this week.
They are just they're getting along really well. I think that they are. It's just amazing how you see titans of industry in our nation, our world, getting along in such a great way publicly with the leaders, the president of our nation, solving through the nation's problems. Sam, it's wonderful to see. It's amazing. And also the respect that our president showed to the visiting chancellor of Germany. It's just so, so great, as he was asking him whether he was disappointed that, you know, that the Nazis were defeated.
Right. Yes. He couldn't possibly understand why that wouldn't be a sad thing for the German chancellor.
God, Jesus Christ.
Okay. So
this whole thing started, as far as I can tell, if you go through the background story.
Yes.
There was obviously a lot of tension.
Yeah, as we talked about last week, you know, the fact that Elon was leaving was not exactly unwelcome for the rest of the Trump team.
Right. It is very clear that they were very, very, very
ready for him to be gone.
Ready for him to be gone. You know, there is this guy who has come to the fore as apparently one of the key guys that was driving this. And one of the biggest things that he pushed against was the nomination of the NASA administrator. Okay. All of a sudden, right after the farewell meeting at the White House, the guy who was Elon's guy to head NASA was withdrawn. Jared Isaacman was the guy that was nominated there. And this guy that I guess I not really paid attention to before, this advisor named the last name Gore, G-O-R.
Not Al Gore.
Not G-O-R, not G-O-R-E, okay? He apparently, Sergio Gore, okay?
Okay, yep.
Sergio apparently had a very close relationship with Trump, and it seemed to have been rooted from right after January 6th, where he apparently was a guy that helped them publish books and many books of from allies of Trump after that. So he was very, he seemed to have been a key supporter of Trump right at the moment when a lot of people seem to have walked away from him. Okay. It says here that he co-founded Winning Team Publishing with Donald Trump Jr. The imprint publishes books by Trump and his allies and put much needed cash in Trump's pocket during his isolation after the January 6th riot at the Capitol. So this guy was very close in with him. He was a frequent guest at Mar-a-Lago. He was a Trump fundraiser in the pack. And this guy despised Elon. And he was very hell-bent against Isaacman, in large part because there were records to show that this guy was a big Democratic donor. Jared Isaacman, okay?
Yeah.
He had been a very big Democratic donor, okay? By the way, which, by the way, Donald Trump also was, but okay, let's not get into those details. But, you know, there's something that's happened with a lot of these people with money. But so he was as a big Democratic donor, and he was coming up to Trump and saying, hey, get this guy out. But wait, because this is, by the way, they're saying that this is the biggest root of how this tension started, okay? Gore was the one that was going to Trump and basically just saying, you need to get rid of Isaacman. You need to get rid of Isaacman. And he kept showing him how he had donated to the Democrats. And he kept showing him that and that and that. And by the way, so this got to, and in the meeting that happened at the White House, where we heard that Marco Rubio had gone toe-to-toe with Musk, it went unreported that this guy also did. Big time. Mm. Okay? And so that went unreported. So the role that this guy had in terms of fomenting this Musk-Trump schism was far more significant than was previously known, okay? And so, look, to Elon Musk, what the fuck could be more important than having the NASA administrator be a key ally of his? Given the if you look at his holdings right now, number one holding that he has is SpaceX. Okay, that his net worth depends a lot more on SpaceX than it does on Tesla stock.
Okay,
according to reports that I've seen. So all of a sudden, this guy yanking that guy out was a brutal blow. And then, you know, a lot of other people, Musk is out. The knives have come out like left and right. And precipitated with his big, beautiful bill, Doge not bringing in the savings that were expected. But not just that, the fact that the big, beautiful bill, you know, it goes totally the opposite way of where they had come in 3 months ago and will add to the deficit like crazy. And so, you know, Elon just started railing into this.
Although Republicans, by the way, are still denying that and saying the CBO is full of it. It's not accurate. Ignore them. There will be so much growth.
Right. That was the same bullshit that they said back when they passed the last tax cut in 2018 and the deficit went through the roof.
Right.
Because the CBO is full of shit. But so you know, and the startup, but it escalated quite quickly. I understand that, by the way, Trump fired all the Doge people. He cleared them all out.
As of yesterday, I hadn't heard that. Is that new today?
No, that was yesterday. Yesterday, Trump ordered everybody a Doge. Fired. Everybody. Okay. All of them.
Okay. I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah. I mean, I shared that on the Slack. Let me find it. But there was a story specifically that literally everybody, that they told everybody at Doge to clear out, get the fuck out.
What I saw is that they had cleared out their desks in anticipation of that, but that it hadn't actually happened yet.
No. What I got is that there was an order that they got there and saw that their desks had been cleared out. So I guess we've got conflicting reports on that.
Find the link.
I gotta find. Fuck. Jesus Christ! So much shit. Da 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 da. Da da da. Brett Baer, no. Our advisor, no. 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 Let's see. Okay. Well, I can't find it right now.
Okay.
I cannot find it right now, but I had one report that I got that basically they had told everybody to clear out. Okay.
And look, it would not be all
the staffers, right? That was a retaliation that was said to have happened
now,
yesterday.
And so I will say conflicting reports, like you said, because I have also heard that.
Oh, here it is. It's a Midas Touch reported it. Doge staffers also had their desks cleaned out and packed last night in case they were all fired by Trump. Okay, so I misread that. You read that correct. I just got the HQ. I'm the last man here. The place cleared out as a precaution. Okay.
Right, because so, I have also read that many of these are still in place and actually still taking action as of yesterday. Even with Elon gone, the team he put in place...
Yeah, but that's
still
that's
going
all
forward,
bullshit.
But because, under listen, somebody else.
But that's all bullshit. All the agencies are now rebelling to this. As a matter of fact,
yes, they can now push
back
more effectively. Yes.
No, but it's not just push back. They're actively undoing a whole bunch of the things that were done. There was a story.
Yes, they were rehiring people because they fired too many people, et cetera.
They were rehiring people at agencies across the board where they had been fired that they just realized that we just can't continue without them. And they were actively hiring them all back. Aside from, there was a bill that's advancing in Congress, like right now, with bipartisan support also, to restore all the cuts that were made to the Weather Service.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And that one's also advancing as well, because basically people realize that we are right now, DOGE has created significant blind spots in our monitoring of major weather events.
Right. And I suspect, like, all it'll take is, like, one major event to do the same kind of stuff for FEMA, because they've also gutted FEMA, you know?
Yeah, I mean, FEMA is in the same.
Although, like, so far, like, we've got things like Donald Trump denying emergency relief to various places that have had issues. You know,
and these are places that are with Republicans.
Red states.
I mean, you have Republican governors. You've had Republican governors asking for help from FEMA, and they basically tell fuck you, like right now. So that's been going on. But listen, the way that the bottom line, you know, Elon yesterday went basically said that Trump's a pedo. He said that he's all over the Epstein files, and that's why they're not being released. Okay. He also said he's starting a third party. He also said,
yes, he
well,
did say
at one
that
point
as well.
He threatened with but he threatened to decommission Dragon as well, which he apparently backed off of. Okay. Yes. What else?
Because Donald was threatening to remove all the federal contracts from SpaceX.
Oh yeah,
as
right.
Well.
Donald threatened to cancel all federal contracts with Elon Musk. What the fuck else? I mean, there was like so many things that they threw
Look,
at each other.
Here are a few things to keep in mind for both of these people. First of all, neither one of these people has any affinity or care about the truth. It's just not part of their... So, like, if they say something, it is not because the thing is true. It is because they think saying it will have the effect that they want or will lead things in the direction that they want. So, you know, start with Elon and tying Trump to the Epstein files. So, first of all, Trump has been tied to the Epstein files for years. This has been public in things that have already been released. Okay.
True. But
let me just say this. You know, there's video of him and Epstein together. There's video of him talking about Epstein's predilection for young girls. All of this exists. All of this has been out there for years. It's known that he'd made trips to Stupid Island or whatever. All of this is out there. The rumor mongering is, of course, there's something more substantial that directly ties Donald Trump to nefarious activities.
Let me finish. Well, no,
let
but I want to be clear
point.
About what the that point. Is, the, yeah. about the extra stuff. The extra stuff that's been talked about, and that there was controversy yesterday because Kash Patel went on Rogan and said one thing, and Pam Bondi said something different. It's about videos. Specifically about videos with underage girls and who the hell's appearing in them. Kash Patel went said, oh, no, there's no such videos that are bad. Pam Bondi said, well, we can't release his videos because they show all these underage girls and we don't want to victimize them again.
Yes. So the point I was making about Musk is that the fact that he tweeted that does not indicate that he actually knows anything one way or the other.
True.
Like maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. It maybe just doesn't. Indicates that he thinks saying that would have an effect. Like,
okay.
Now, the truth of what may or may not exist is an entirely separate question. I'm just saying that to Elon Musk, that's irrelevant. What's relevant is that saying that would have an impact.
Here is the thing, right? 3 months ago, in February, right? Yes. Pam Bondi invited all these people that she supposedly gave the Epstein files to. And what did she hand them? You remember? Okay, no, I remember. Empty binders.
Oh, yes,
and they marched out of the White House with these binders that had nothing in them. Nothing. Then you get this report that the New York, office, I think of the, I can't remember which agency, it was the Attorney General, basically had an entire crew of people scouring through these files, okay? Scouring and scouring and scouring to supposedly to redact, to do whatever in order to publish the files. And nothing still has been released. Okay. Now remember, they promised we are going to release these. And then all of a sudden, 3 months later, we've got nothing.
And I will also remind people of the lawsuit that was about to go forward right before the 2016 election with the person who claims that Donald Trump and Epstein did something with her when she was 13.
Right. And that was quashed. That's probably another one of these catch and kill things.
Yeah. That was withdrawn like weeks before the election. The person in question backed off, didn't want to do it anymore, blah, blah, blah. And she could have been scared. She could have been bribed. There's all kinds of reasons. Or maybe she realized that she was lying and there was nothing to it and she better get off. We don't know. But this kind of stuff has been out there for years. The Musk's point in doing this was just to sort of turn the screwdriver for Donald Trump and ratchet up this. Now I have not confirmed myself, but I saw somebody post something this morning that says Musk has now removed that post.
Well, I'm not on X, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not on X either.
Oh yeah, remove that post. Like nobody saw it, Sam. That solves the problem. Nobody saw that.
Well, the question on all of this is, are they going to de-escalate and make friends again?
Well, listen, I saw Donald Trump on Air Force One. I guess he was coming back fucking Mar-a-Lago again. basically saying something like he refused to engage reporters' questions about the TIFF and kept saying, "Oh, I wish him well. Oh, I wish him well."
Right. Whereas 24 hours previously, he had
been canceling all of you. Go fuck yourself. Fuck you. And all of a sudden, I wish him well.
And he'd been going through the rounds, calling every cable news like anchor he could think of to trash Musk. So he's wishing him well
24 hours later? What the fuck is going on? What the fuck happened behind the scenes, Sam? That is bizarre.
Well, there are a couple things that I think. First of all, I think Musk was hoping that a significant portion of sort of the MAGA base would take his side. And it looks like that portion is relatively small. Like all of the congressional Republicans are like, yeah, we hope this goes away, but if push comes to shove, we're on Trump. We're on Team Trump.
Right.
There was a poll that came out that showed like Musk's support was relatively small amongst Republicans.
It was like Republicans, the poll, but this poll seemed to have not been like yesterday or this week. Okay.
I understood it was a flat poll. Let me double check.
Let me double check because I'm looking it up right now. The number that came up was 6%. Okay. According to this. Versus 71 for Trump and 12, which basically neither. Yesterday at 10:12 a.m. Let me double check to make sure that this poll was there. Catters lined up with the president, apparently prompting Musk to unfollow him, but he's not alone. Poll released by YouGov in the wake of conflagration. So yes, it was actually time. Yes, so it showed that Musk gets 6% of support.
And also, I think when push comes to shove on the threats they were making against each other, yeah, to use Trump's own terminology, Trump has the cards. You know, Trump has more leverage against Musk than the other way around.
Oh, totally.
Because Trump has the force of the federal government. Now, here's the problem that
Musk created for himself. Okay.
Well, yeah. I will point out, just for the record, that many of the things Trump and Trump's team are threatening are questionably legal and would undoubtedly end up for years in court. But we know this administration doesn't care about that, so it wouldn't matter. So,
right.
We've got the threat of the unilateral cancellation of all the SpaceX contracts. Okay. Well, these are contracts. They have been signed. There are provisions in them for how and where you cancel. There's also federal government regulations on how things have to follow processes and can't just be arbitrary decisions by the president. Now, as I said, Donald Trump clearly doesn't care about any of that. He could try to cancel it anyway. And of course, it'll end up in court. But the point is, he could cause extreme disruption right now. We've also got a number of Trump's advisors saying, hey, you should investigate Elon Musk's initial visa into the United States and whether there were irregularities into him overstaying the visa or lying on the visa or anything else like that.
Can we revoke Musk's citizenship?
Yeah, because while he is a naturalized citizenship now, if it turned out that that was predicated fraudulent. On fraud, you can revoke his citizenship and deport him. You know, there are also Trump advisors suggesting that he skip canceling the contracts, just nationalize SpaceX.
Well, fuck, we've said that a year before. You know, I hate agreeing with any of these assholes.
But again, questionable legality, although for the nationalizing SpaceX, there is apparently, and people were talking about this earlier in the Ukraine war, there are laws where the president can basically take U.S. manufacturing capability that is significant to national security and take over. In one way or another, way, or at least mandate
a new story. A new story in the Washington Post. Okay, all right. Summarizing some of the stuff that's been going on. Summarizing some because I mentioned a lot of things that Musk said about Trump Trump said, rattled in the wake of Elon Musk's public attacks. This is inside the battles that shattered Trump and Musk's alliance. Okay, it's
yeah.
a new story there. An apparent call for his impeachment. Because, by the way,
yeah,
Musk
yeah.
called for Trump's impeachment as well, for God's sakes. Okay? Trump worked the phones, debriefing close confidence and casual acquaintances alike. His former ally was a big-time drug addict, he called him.
Yes, yeah.
Trump said at one point, as he tried to make sense of Musk's behavior, according to a person with knowledge of the call, who liked other interviews for his story on the condition of anonymity. But he called him, man, he called him a fucking big-time drug addict. And by the way,
and
Trump
we talked
has,
about the New York Times article from last week. Yeah.
Yeah, but Trump has a big issue with addiction, okay? His,
yes,
his brother. His brother died, you know, with a huge alcohol addiction. It's the reason why Trump doesn't drink. So this for him isn't some, you know, it's something that is a...
is actually personal to him.
Yes, totally. Okay?
Well, almost everything is personal to Donald Trump. That's how he lives his life.
But this specifically,
he cares about this issue because of the personal experience in his family.
Yes. So, I mean, Trump definitely has far a lot more ammunition that he could hurt Musk with. And the reality is that even if he can't cancel immediately,
I mean, look,
SpaceX contract.
Musk can make some noise on X. Musk could make some mischief with SpaceX, but if he does, the feds have all kinds of ways to retaliate and deal with that.
Let me give you one example right now. Look, let me tell you something. You've had all these Starship launches that have been chaotic. Okay, that all of a sudden, with what he did going into the administration, he had basically,
he killed the investigations of those and killed any.
Yes.
Like there was movement to further regulate, and those died, but they can come back.
Guess. Okay, take a wild guess. You think that now, after he called for his impeachment and whatever, do you think that these people are going to back off on him? I'll tell you something. I'm going to say this right now. I bet you there isn't another Starship launch anytime soon.
Hmm.
They're gonna stop him from launches now. They're gonna say, "Fuck you! No, you blown up five of these. We need to do a thorough investigation."
I could easily see that. I mean, honestly, that's the prudent thing to do anyway. But I think
that would have been the prudent thing to do. But the point is that they had,
but they wouldn't have if he was still in the good graces of the administration. They would have just gone full speed ahead. Or let SpaceX do whatever they wanted to. Yeah, look, this is why I think you're going to get some sort of truce, but it'll be a truce under, it will be Trump winning this debate. Or at the very least, like, this truce may be just Elon decides to be quiet for a while, rather, you know, because he realizes he's lost.
Yeah, they easier. I mean, that you're right. I mean, I don't see the problem that Musk has right now is that there is no winning scenario here in any direction. Here's a fucking problem that Musk's got. The people that used to be his biggest supporters in the past were all these people that were all in on him because, hey, electric cars, solar power. You know, you're helping the future, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, those
and
don't sound like MAGA.
He went to all those people. Exactly. And he went and gave the middle finger to all those fucking people across the world. Okay? He gave them the fucking middle finger to back this shit. Now, as everybody that goes and tries to make a deal with Donald winds up getting fucked, he was, as I totally expected and predicted, okay?
Yeah.
He was going to get fucked.
Everybody did. It wasn't your unique prediction. The question was what the time frame would be. Like,
I did give it 90 days, okay?
No, I know. You said it was going to be quick. There were a few people that gave it, like, short time frames. I believe on our prediction show, you said, like around this time, I said I thought he would make it to the second half of the year.
He almost did. Almost, but not quite. A lot of people said there is no way this relationship can last for the long term. And there was a betting market on how long it would take before they fell apart. But, you know, there weren't a lot of people saying they'll still be buddy buddies in 4 years. Now, who knows? They may make up. They may all be like shaking hands again before we get.
I mean, Trump has made up with people that he has publicly feuded like crazy. I mean, look at Marco Rubio and the fucking, you know, State Department, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's possible. But I think in the short term right now, all of these, you know, Musk played this hand, played it heavily, and economically, all it's done is give him loss after loss.
Yeah, I think that's your key. And I don't know, he may fight on, he may do more stuff, but I kind of suspect that at a certain point he realizes that he thought he had a play that he didn't.
Yeah.
He thought there'd be all kinds of people rallying to his defense, that he'd be able to split the Republican caucus, that he might be able to kill the big, beautiful bill. Now, the big, beautiful bill has issues in the Senate anyway. It may die regardless.
Listen, I don't know if he's killing the big, beautiful bill. I think the problem with the big, beautiful bill is a problem that is built into the big, beautiful bill. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It has problems. Okay. It may die anyway, but I don't think it's Elon.
Right. It's not Elon killing it. Okay. But here's the one thing about this, okay, and how these coalitions are and how the hell it is. Despite the fact that we're saying, hey, okay, the Republicans have stood by Donald, okay? But here's the reality. In the political environment we are in, when it's only 71%, that's not good. That's not good. It's only 71% of them. You lost 30, you lost 29% of them in this fight. So while 71% of Republicans is strong enough to maintain, you know, all these people that you need, like the House or whatever, aligned nominally in terms of like, well, you're not getting impeached or whatever, losing that percentage is enough to derail a bill like this. Okay.
Well, especially the bill was in trouble anyway. Like, it barely passed in the House. And of course, it barely passed in the House. That's what the margin is. Like, you know, but
right.
But in the Senate, right off of day one, there were people, there were Republican senators saying they couldn't vote for it. It needed to change. They needed to adjust XYZ. And the problem with that is the things that need to be adjusted to get one set of people loses another set of people. And so now I kind of feel like in the end, they'll pull out something. Now, what that something will be, I don't know. But like,
it's not going to be a big, beautiful bill. Let me tell you something. Whatever it is, it's not going to be a big, beautiful bill. And it's precisely because of what you said. Okay. The biggest problem with the big, beautiful bill is that any of the concessions that you need to make on this bill to get it passed lose you way too many people. You know, you can see to the hawks more. You lose a whole bunch of moderates. They're like, look, we can't vote for this. Okay,
right.
You go and like, yeah, you try to raise taxes. That's another fucking group of people big that you you lose. Any way you go and you push this damn bill because it's so big and so wieldy, you wind up losing large swats of people that say, fuck you, we can't do this.
Well, and this is also why congressional people were trying to tell Donald Trump, don't do one big, beautiful bill. Do a series
do
of smaller
a number,
bills.
A series of smaller bills.
Because then you can get different coalitions for these different things and maybe pass them independently. Whereas if you roll it up together, there's always
it's
something
impossible.
That is a breaker for somebody. Now,
I'll tell you one thing that I just saw this week. A group I don't think it was just House people. I think it was senators and House congressmen basically were making a big push to strip from the bill, all these cuts that were being done to for things that were from the IRA, because they knew that their districts were going to get destroyed by these. Okay.
Right.
So there is a big push to strip all that shit out because they're like, damn it, what are we fucking doing?
Yeah, there were specifically reports of House members who had voted for the bill asking their Senate colleagues to please take this stuff out that they voted for.
Fucking idiots!
For exactly the reason you're talking about. Well, they needed to get on record as supporting the Trump's policies, but then they want to make sure that it doesn't actually take into effect.
There's a bunch of other provisions in there that are crazy. There's one provision that would basically make it that no foreign person would want to buy any U.S. investments because of the tax implications that they added to it. It was nuts. They put so much shit that is toxic in this bill. Okay, this bill is just ridiculously bad. And, you know, the funny thing is when you get somebody, of course, not surprising, like Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, oh, this thing was in there. And then she says, ah, I never saw that. I'm like, so you didn't read the bill? No. You know,
to be fair, both sides have yelled at the other side for decades about not reading the bill, because that is a legislative reality in how these things are constructed.
Come on, man. You know, you've got a fucking staff of people to parse and summarize and go through this fucking thing in order to make sure you know what the fuck is in there or not. Yes. You're not sitting. I mean, I understand how difficult it is for one person to read it, but that's why you have the staff. You split up the 1,800 pages.
Everybody gets 100 pages, and you make sure to flag to your principal the things that matter.
Exactly. But these people don't even do that anymore, Sam. They don't do that anymore.
Well, I would also say
some of them, but
I would also say there's an issue that I don't necessarily believe the protestations that they didn't know.
I'm sure in some cases they don't.
I'm sure in some cases they actually didn't know because Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot, and so I'm sure she didn't. Okay. But I'm sure there are plenty of other people who protest. Oh, I had no idea.
Oh, and they knew. I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah.
But, all of these Congress people who are like, oh, did Donald Trump tweet something? I had no idea. Like, you know.
Well, he didn't tweet something. Truth.
Yeah, well, now he truths it. But like,
let's call it a tweet anyway, because that even what is something that you post on X supposed to be called?
A shit?
Yes.
I don't know.
Sounds perfect to me.
That was another interesting part of this whole thing is like people were talking about how they were going at each other on their respective social media platforms, you know? Because you have the two billionaires, each with their own captured social media
God, that so stupid.
You know, that undoubtedly are rigged to boost their own posts, et cetera, et cetera.
No way. Nah, come on.
Elon would never do that. Donald would never do that. Yeah, no.
Never.
One more Elon related thing before we take a break and move on. And I don't even know what else, we'll see about the last segment, but there was a lot of reaction and then counter reaction to a certain group of, I'm going to say Democrats, but it also included never Trumpers and such to this whole feud. Going, enemy of my enemy is my friend. Let's figure out how to make nice with Elon and bring him back into the fold and figure out how to use
him. On video, I am showing me like giving both my middle fingers to this idea. I mean, fuck Elon. I don't care. Listen, I hated Elon before he tied himself to MAGA. So I hated him as a MAGA. I still hate him now. Fuck him.
And look, here's the thing. He is, It is one thing to cheer on and say, hey, it's great that they're fighting amongst themselves. Yeah. Sure. Stand back and let them do it. It is quite another thing to say, oh, okay, in that case, let's work with Elon and see how we can make it so that he will like us and support us instead. And I think this ties to the more general, that there's been a more general debate amongst Democrats that we've touched on here before about whether the right way forward is to try to change Democratic positions to try to convert marginal Trump voters and try to bring over, bring back the white middle class, blah, 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 blah. Like, let's throw trans people under the bus, let's moderate on immigration.
Like I said before, the problem with all of these is not the Democratic positions. The problem is that the Democrats never had an effective way of how to counter the straw man that Republicans made. Because when the Republicans went anti-trans, what the Democrats did and mostly did was nothing. They didn't say they said we're pro-trans, but they didn't go and combat the misinformation that they were giving on all of this.
Well,
instead of I'm like, oh my God, women's sports aren't being invaded by men. You should have gone and had an ad that said, guys, they're talking about 5 athletes out of 80,000. Okay, because that's the reality. This isn't real. Okay,
this is true, and
how they just ignored it. The same thing with abortion rights.
Yeah, we've had this,
the Democrats are pro-abortion, and they're like, no, idiots, we're not pro-abortion, we're pro-women's rights, but they don't scream it at the top of the lungs to oppose this misinformation.
Well,
the problem is not the positions. The problem is that the Democrats sit there and like, you know what? Oh, we're going to pass a great bill. Okay,
we're going to do this, and
we're going to legislate, and we're going to do this or whatever. And, you know, with this wonky bill, which, by the way, has many benefits, it's going to be great. But the reality is that, unfortunately, the human reality is that most people don't see that shit that is the real shit that actually helps them live their lives, that is done behind the scenes. They don't really have the appreciation for it.
We've talked about this before. I think part of it, you're absolutely right, combat the misinformation. But I think it's fundamentally more than that. And I thought there was a brief window where I thought the Democrats were past this and we're going to do this right. And then they sort of retreated to their old ways, which is you can't retreat from these culture war issues and be like, you know, oh, like, they're talking about trans people, so we want to hide and not talk about, like, this issue.
No, you combat the misinformation head on.
But not only do you combat the misinformation, you vigorously defend your own position.
And why?
You talk about why you are right and they are wrong. You know, because for years and years and years, this goes back, I'd say, all the way to, like, I want to say the 70s, on lots of issues where the Democrats sort of decided that the general, or maybe it's the 80s, maybe it's after Ronald Reagan, where the Democrats were beaten so badly by Ronald Reagan that they decided, oh, hell, the conservative positions, the Americans really are conservative. So we have to hide our liberal positions, pretend to be more moderate, and that's the only way we can win. Like, there's Bill Clinton's triangulation strategy to try to capture the middle. And you've still got a lot of people in the Democratic Party who came up in that era. Whereas, look, if you do the polling on an individual-by-individual basis, individual issue by individual basis, the liberal position is the majority position on immigration.
Yes.
Immigration's questionable. It's very...
No. On immigration, you're right. I mean, most people are against the mass deportations.
There's some question on how you word it and what kinds of things you're talking about. But yeah, on immigration, people don't want this. On gay rights, people are for gay rights now. People are for gay marriage. The trans is a little bit behind that, but getting there. You know, on social issues, on like what the safety net should
look like. Marijuana, abortion,
all of these issues.
Are social security.
All of these issues are majority positions. So occasionally you get people like Matt Iglesias and people like that saying Democrats should just pull things and then go after the popular issues, avoid the issues that aren't. And you can see that a little bit. But the problem is that voters and the public at large detect inauthenticity instinctually. And so if you've got
that you can say for sure is that Donald Trump is an authentic racist and he shows it every day. So that's why his people love him. It's true.
Well,
they know he is one of theirs in that way.
Right. So it's for all of these issues, when the Democrat hides from the issue and says, oh, they're attacking me on trans issues, so I'll just be quiet about that. Or, oh, they're really aggressive on immigration, so I have to become more aggressive on immigration too. Or all of these things, they lose respect right off the bat. First of all, one of the things that Donald Trump also showed is you can win by just going for your base. Donald Trump makes no effort whatsoever to go after the center.
To go to the middle.
And not at all. And how has he won? He has not won by converting people in the middle. He has won by getting people out to vote who don't normally vote. And the Democrats instead are constantly going back to, ooh, how do we get this squishy voter in the middle who doesn't pay attention to anything, as opposed to energize your fucking base instead of alienating them. So like when there's an issue like any of those that we just listed, don't hide from it. Defend your goddamn position and talk about why you are right and they are wrong. This, I keep coming back to the weird thing and stuff like that. This is why that was working for the short period of time the Harris folks were using it.
It was working.
Because it's like, no, we're not the ones that are out of the mainstream. They're the ones that are out of the mainstream. They're the ones that are weird. They are the ones who like are advocating for cruel and unusual things that nobody supports. That strategy was working. Now, on the other hand, with this Elon thing, you all of a sudden get all these people saying, ooh, 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 what can we do to change our positions to get Elon solidly on our side? Because that would help so much. No, no.
Rule number one, tell Elon to go fuck himself. And if you forget, rule number two, if you forget about that, please go back and read rule number one. That's it.
And the Democrats also have to be willing to alienate some supporters. Also, like, you know, if you
listen, here's the one thing. 15 years ago, the Bernie Sanders approach was not the right approach. Okay. But right now it is. When Obama won, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But right now, that's the approach we need. It needs to be combative. It can't be appeasing. It has to be aggressive. Period.
And part of that is having the 100% loss of all the governmental institutions. When you are like, you don't have the House, you don't have the Senate, you don't have the presidency, you don't have the courts. In that situation, you can't act like a governing party. If you are in charge, there's certain things you have to do to govern well. But if you are,
you have to obstruct. You have to stop. You have to. You have to always be listen. Whatever the fuck they're doing, you do not, under any circumstances, give them anything. Do not even if it's something that you want. Okay.
And frankly, even if they're going to win in the end anyway, because they have the numbers, you have to.
Right.
Even more so in that situation, you have to be the opposition.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
That was drifting a little bit from Elon, but the reason is there's such a resurgence this last week of these people going like, yay, now Elon's our friend. Bullshit. He's not your friend.
He will not never be your friend. He wasn't your friend. He's never been your friend. never been your friend. This guy has never been anybody's friend at all.
Okay.
All right. I need to wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah, let's... I was going to say, let's
a little
take,
bit short.
Yeah, we don't need a break in a second thing. We can just wrap it up. Because even if we did take a break, I'd be like, well, what are we going to talk about? There are a couple small things.
Yeah, there's a couple of small things, but I think we've.
I'm just going to hit.
We covered all the. Listen, that news quiz did help us cover all the news. We got to see if we do better next.
I'm just going to hit bullet points. Like,
hit the bullet points.
Hit the bullet points. If you have any quick reaction, we have Ukraine taking out a significant portion of the Russian bomber fleet.
We forgot this happened this week.
You know.
So the Ukrainians are not so dumb after all, huh?
It turns out they have some cards.
It turns out they have some cards. By the way, one of the things that happened, I also checked like traffic maps about this. Russian traffic is in a complete snarl, like crazy.
Because they're checking all the trucks now.
Every fucking truck everywhere now is
because
getting checked.
What happened, the Ukrainians loaded up some trucks full of drones.
They hired Russian truckers.
Yeah, essentially, by the way, these are what they're doing here that is extremely clever that they have been really innovating on dramatically over the last few years. They essentially take commercial drones and modify them to weaponize them. So we're talking about like drones that are on the order of $1,500 to $2,000 a pop, as opposed to like, you know, these mega drones that...
Yeah, like a
Reaper or something.
The Reaper, right. Costs, I was going to say Rapier. No, Reaper. Yeah,
that costs like billions of dollars or however the hell much they cost.
Well, they're not billions. But
they're
expensive.
Trillions.
They're way more expensive.
Trillions.
Trillions. Yes, as our Secretary of Education said this week, yes.
Anyway.
She's cutting $1.5 trillion.
Anyway, these are relatively inexpensive drones. And the ones they use for this are sort of on the high end of what they're using in the field all over Ukraine as well. But they modify these things. They put weapons on them, whatever. They put a whole bunch of them in specially modified trucks. They hired Russian truckers to transport them that had no idea what they were transporting them. And then they had them leave them like a couple miles from military bases and then remote control, launch all the drones, blow up a whole bunch of planes. You know, they take off from close enough that there's not a lot of time to respond and boom. And you know, people have pointed out
the biggest issue Russia has right now. They can't replace those planes.
Yeah,
they have no way of replacing those planes,
at least on any term of reasonable time frame. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Actually, they don't have they don't have factories or churning them out. They can't just it would take like
years and years. Yeah. So. Anyway, Ukraine did this, and people are talking about how, look, the whole world has to adapt to this new reality of how things work. Because defenses were set up against, like, you're sending fighters and bombers from another country, and you see them on radar, and you set up your counterfighters, and you use anti-aircraft guns, and blah, 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 blah. None of that works against small drones launched.
Of it works. I know that the Navy has been adapting because they've been getting hit by drones at sea. They've had them, and there are certain weapon systems that were designed for close
combat.
There
are ways to adapt. The point is,
they have to adapt. You have to adapt. You cannot depend.
Doing things is dead.
So there are certain systems that are being adapted in order to be able to. And another thing is that in the past, in many times when you detected things like this,
right,
and this is something that's happened in the past, you considered that, oh, that's noise. We're not paying attention to that. Now you can't say that's noise. Now you got to go and like your sensors, your whatever that you're using, you got to like, no, that's not noise
anymore.
And
your decision-making process, because instead of having, 20 minutes notice or something, you may have 20 seconds notice.
Seconds to decide. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Right. We got Ukraine. We got the new travel ban. We did have a question on that on the quiz.
We did have a question on the travel ban, and we answered it. You answered it incorrectly.
I was wrong. Donald has instigated a new investigation of Biden's use of AutoPen.
Uh-huh.
Yep. There was an escalation in ICE versus anti-ICE protesters in L.A. like last night.
where, in a lot of places, actually. It, but yeah, in L.A.
It got biggest in L.A. yesterday. There were, but it's been growing over the last few weeks anyway, where there have been groups that have come out to try to get in the way of ICE when they're taking out, when they're doing enforcement actions. And there are starting to be conflicts between.
Listen, I have said, and, you know, we talked about non-aggressive Democrats not being aggressive. If I'm the mayor, I'm the governor of the state, I'm like, right now, my thing is right now, I'm looking out for human rights. I'm looking for violations of due process by ICE. And I'm starting to arrest ICE agents. You're not following due process. I'm dragging you to jail. And that's how, and you don't have the authority, because they don't have the authority. They don't listen. I know by law, because this is a question that came to an issue in Puerto Rico. They don't have the authority to question U.S. citizens.
Right.
You don't have it. So there was a thing that for years they tried to do when you exited Puerto Rico, where they kept asking people whether you were a U.S. citizen or not. And they were taking people who refused to answer the question and bringing them for questioning. That went to the courts. The courts determined, you know what? ICE agents don't have that right. Immigration agents do not have that right. And the problem right now is that we're letting them get away with way too much.
Well, and there are also a lot of situations where they are relying on people not knowing that for certain things they are actually required to have warrants. And right. So, like, people can say, no, I'm not letting you in unless you
show me a warrant
or whatever.
Show me a warrant or whatever. You've got no right to come in here, period.
Yeah.
But this is a big problem. But my problem is that if I'm a mayor and I'm a sheriff of a city and I've got immigration agents breaking the law left and right, you know what I'm doing? I'm fucking arresting these assholes. That's what I would be doing. They want to, like, start with this shit. You want to start breaking the law, like, left and right? You think that you've got the right to just break the law in my city? Fuck you, no. Okay?
Yeah, I think we are seeing escalation of this situation, and we're seeing, in L.A., they were using, the non-lethal force.
Flashbang. Whatever, but that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous for an immigration raid.
Well, and I think it's only a matter of time till we get, like, the equivalent of what happened in Kent State in the 60s. And some protester gets killed. And then you'll start seeing reaction to that. This is going to escalate. I see no way.
It's going to escalate. Yeah.
Okay. Along those lines, last item I'm going to mention here is Garcia has been returned from El Salvador. Now they have indicted him.
Now they have made up these charges against him.
Well, here's the thing. I've seen a few legal reviews of the indictment that say it's really weak. There might be something, but it's really weak. There are all kinds of holes I can put in this. But the fundamental thing, I've seen a lot of the Republicans say things along the, essentially boiling down to, okay, fine. Are you happy now? And the answer is, well, kinda, because now he will go through the proper process. You say you have charges against him. We were never saying necessarily that this guy was pure as the driven snow.
Okay, but by the way, there is something that no. Here's something. Okay, listen. Yes. There is significant evidence that the U.S. attorney for Tennessee resigned the moment that he was coming back,
because
and the main reason why
political.
In the background they said is because he basically said that this entire charge is made up and political.
Yes. Now, but here's the thing: they now have to prove it. You know, and so. This will go to court. It will, it'll go through the standard process. Either the guy will be convicted or he won't be. Now, they're trying to keep him in pretrial detention the whole time. We'll see if that flies. And if it is completely made up and he gets exonerated, we'll see what happens then. I mean, the guy shouldn't have, assuming this stuff is fairly flimsy, then he shouldn't be going through any of this at all. Of course.
Right.
But at least now the basic principle at play
of
here
due process.
Is there has to be a process. The government can't just say you're bad and send you to El Salvador.
Gone. El Salvador.
They have to prove their case. They have to have a case and they have to prove the case. And, right. And we'll see what happens in this case. But that's the important principle. And so many people on the MAGA side are like, well, that's bullshit. He's a bad guy. He shouldn't have due process.
But the problem is, if you don't have that
everybody has due process,
if you don't have that process for everyone, then there's nothing stopping you from abusing that power for everyone.
Right.
You know, and whether or not this individual guy is guilty or not is not actually the point. Now, if they're completely railroading an innocent man, there should be consequences for that. There may or may not actually be in the end. But even let's say he turns out to be guilty. He did all the stuff they said. Well, you still need to prove it. And that's what they're going to do. Okay, that was the last thing I had.
All right, so we're done.
We're done. Okay, everybody. Curmudgeon-corner.com. You can find our archives. You can find all the ways to contact us. You can find transcripts. You can find the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You can find all the good stuff you could possibly want. Right, Yvonne?
Absolutely. Everything. Everything. The whole time. Everything.
Everything.
Yes.
Yes. And if you don't
everything
find that
all the time,
if you don't find any of that on curmudgeon-corner.com, that is your fault, for it is not ours. You know, it's your problem.
That's your problem. You know, sorry, but you know, do better, please.
Anyway, one of the things is a link to our Patreon where you can give us money. We would like more money. And at various levels, we'll send you a postcard. We'll send you a mug, blah, blah, blah. I still owe postcards. Sorry. I wrote them. I just haven't sent them to Yvonne to send to whatever. I'll get to it eventually. And yeah, we'll send you all that. And importantly, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask, we'll invite you to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of other folks are hanging out, chatting, sharing links, etc. So Yvonne, one thing from the chat that will make people really, really, really wish to join our Slack and be on there all the time.
From the LA Times, an AI startup backed by Microsoft revealed to be 700 Indian employees pretending to be chatbots.
Is that a problem, Yvonne?
As long as it works, no. Look, I did, for full disclosure, I when I was at Kodak, I did release a product called the Kodak Scan Cloud.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, the Kodak Scan Cloud.
Are you going to get in trouble for revealing this, Yvonne?
Not really. I mean, you know, I don't think so. So, I launched this. The one thing is that the whole thing was that we would scan, capture data on your documents. Okay. We had an SLA that we would meet and that you would get this information fed into your system. Now, I didn't say how that happened. It made it sound like it was technology, but the reality is that I had this place staffed with people 24/7 that basically when the documents came in, they would, there was some technology involved, but there was humans that had to really do the last mile of it in order for your document to be processed. Well, but I didn't say that anywhere. So I'm not surprised that somebody, and the reason why I did that is because there was software that could automatically do this, but the licenses were so expensive.
That
the people were cheaper.
Yeah.
And by the way, more accurate as well. The people were cheaper and more accurate.
There you go.
So I was like, well, what the hell, you know?
Well,
So I'm sure that that's what they figured out with the 700 guys. They're like, wait, the technology will say stupid shit that we don't want it to say. It'll give you wrong answers. What the hell? You know, we'll just put 700 people back there. We won't tell everybody
didn't you mention last week that Tesla was hiring a team of
drivers
for their self-driver taxi?
For their self-driving, yes, for the driverless taxis, yes. Well, they're hiring drivers.
Which, by the way, is apparently typical of all of these self-driving taxi folks.
Yes, I mean, Waymo has people that can take over remotely in case the vehicle gets into.
The question, yes, of course, is how often is the human having to do something versus how often it really is automated.
Right. If it's basically driving the full time.
And that's not always disclosed.
Right. Yes, that is true.
One of these companies that had to, I forget which one, that had to pull out of some marketplace after an accident or whatever, ended up revealing that they had like two drivers on staff for every car or whatever.
And, two?
Yes.
Jesus.
and so, and I believe
there's even one company out there who doesn't try to fake it. And it's just like, this isn't a self-driving car. It's just that your chauffeur happens to be in Mumbai. We're driving the car by remote control from wherever.
I mean, honestly, look, there is an advantage to not having to be with another human being in the car.
Right.
I mean, I really, you know, for the most part, I don't, one reason I like to drive myself, I don't want to be in the car with some other person. I have no idea who the hell they are. Fuck this shit.
Right.
Yeah, let them be 5,000, 7,000 miles away. The hell with this shit.
Yeah, well, okay. Anyway, we are done. Thank you, everybody. Have a nice week. We'll be back next week. Stay safe. Have a good time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, later, Yvonne. Have a good weekend.
Okay. All right. Let's do this.